1 Timothy chapter number 3 in your Bibles. Turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter number 3. I'll begin at verse number 1. And then if you'll join me on the even numbered verses, and we'll read responsively down through verse number 5 of 1 Timothy chapter number 3. 1 Timothy chapter number 3. Stand with me, please. And I'll begin on the first verse of 1 Timothy chapter number 3. This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we again come to you and we ask that you please be with the service again tonight. We ask that you'd please bless the time that we have. Lord, we're thankful so much for how you've met with us so far in all of the services. Lord, the one that was baptized this morning and those that were saved throughout the day. Pray that you be with the special music and then the preaching to follow. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Was the message that came to my heart. How that Jesus alone for my sin did atone, and Calvary covers it all. Calvary covers it all. My past with its sin, guilt and despair, Jesus took on him there, and Calvary covers it all. The stripes that he bore and the thorns that he wore told his mercy and love evermore. And my heart bowed in shame as I called on his name, and Calvary covers it all. How matchless the grace, when I look on his face, of this Jesus, my glorified Lord. My redemption complete, I then found at his feet, and Calvary covers it all. Calvary covers it all. My past with its sin and stain, my guilt and despair, Jesus took on him there, and Calvary covers it. My soul by him bought shall be his in the glory on high, where with gladness and song I'll be one of the throng, and Calvary covers it all. Calvary covers it all. My past with its sin and stain, my guilt and despair, Jesus took on him there, and Calvary covers it all.
Amen. Great song. Thank you from the Grandpa Trio. Amen. And it's a blessing. That's wonderful singing tonight, and enjoyed the good song. All right, I just want to say what a joy it's been to look out from the platform and see Bill and Joyce Smith and their family in the service. And just feels like old times, amen. And not that Bill's old or anything, but anyway, it's good to see you folks, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart. And just I wish it was permanent. That's all I can say. I know you got to go back to Texas, but I am so thrilled to see you back with us this evening and today. It's been a blessing. I want to finish up the message that I began this morning. I want to expand on the thoughts that I introduced to you on man's responsibility in the home, since this is Father's Day, and just talk to you a little bit. I hope you brought your Bible, because I want you to turn to some passages tonight when we get started here in a little bit. But I'll finish up what I started this morning. Our Father in heaven, we are thankful that we can bow our head and heart tonight and call you Father. And we look to you now for everything that we need in these moments. God, this is your word. It's eternal, powerful, living. And God, I pray that you'll use it in our midst tonight. I don't want to be in the way. I don't want to mess it up. I don't want to, Lord, abuse it. I want to just preach it plain and clear and teach it truthfully. And then, Lord, would your Spirit please take it and do a work in our hearts tonight. God, grant strength to our dads and our men in this church, and help us, Lord, in a decaying day, a family decay. I pray that you'll help us to employ Bible principles, Lord, that'll help us in the home. So help me tonight. Be a blessing to our church family in Jesus' name. And amen. Let me just review quickly from this morning's message. You'll notice here in verses 4 and 5 and in verse number 12, in this passage that Paul wrote to Timothy about the two offices in the church, the office of pastor and deacon, he told him three times, he said, Timothy, you make sure that the pastor and the deacon, or assistant pastor, whatever you want to call him, you make sure that this man rules his own house well. He even asked the question, if a man doesn't know how to rule his own house well, how shall he rule the house of God? Now, not for one minute do I believe that God is insinuating or implying here that only pastors and assistant pastors ought to rule their home, pastors and deacons. I think what God is saying, this is something He expects from every man, every father, okay? And what He's saying is, now, when you're looking for a pastor or a deacon, you be sure that you don't get one who doesn't have who's not ruling his own house. Make sure that you get one who rules his own house. And I said this morning, I'm abbreviating all this, that type of terminology makes our society pale. They can't handle it. It's so foreign, and it's so Neanderthal, it's so caveman mentality to most people, that the idea of a man ruling in his home, and I'm not talking about being a dictator, I'm not talking about that at all. I'm talking about biblically ruling in his home. That concept just, and unfortunately, I said this morning, secular America pales at that, and unfortunately now, sacred America is too. And just like this morning, it got quiet in here. You know, Baptist church is supposed to believe the Bible. It got quiet. It got tense. It got tight. Say, how do you know? I'm up here. I know. It gets, okay, everybody gets a little bit, and that's a shame. It ought to be the most natural, normal thing in the world is for a man to rule his own home, okay? Now, the question we came up with this morning was, how does a man rule? How does a man rule in his home? Does he just throw out orders and dictate and be a big buffoon from the throne? No, that's not it at all. And we implemented, somebody said, man, I don't know where you got that. I implemented this message. I implemented a law of Bible study. When you're trying to learn what God is saying about how He uses a certain word, you employ the law of first mention. When did God first use that word in the Bible? Where did He first use it? And that took me to Genesis chapter 1, where we're told in Genesis chapter 1, two or three times, that God made these lights to rule the day and lights to rule the night. And He created light on day 1, and then on day 4, He created these bodies, these heavenly bodies, if you will, bodies in the atmospheric heaven, to bear the light that He had already created to mankind. And He put the sun to rule the day. He put the moon and the stars to rule the night. That's the terminology that's used. And something else that He said, not only will those bodies bear light to the earth, but they will bring order. They will be for seasons and days and years. And we said this morning that in the old days, they used to keep time, if you will, by the sundial, by where the sun is. You could pretty much tell what part of the day it is just by finding where the sun is in the sky. You could tell if it's early morning, mid-morning, noon, mid-afternoon, late evening, or sunset. You can kind of tell what time of day it is. And so here's the thing. What does it mean? Well, the sun rules the day, the moon and the stars rule the night, and man rules over his house. What do the sun and moon do? Well, they bear light and they bring order. What does a man do who rules his own house? He bears light and he brings order. That's what a man does. That's pretty biblical, folks. That's putting some sense to what I'm talking about here. Now, I want to break this down a little further tonight and talk about how does a man bear light and how does a man bring order in his home, all right? But let me say this first of all. How does a man bear light to his family, for his family? I mentioned it this morning. I got two things under this one. Number one, a man bears light for his family by walking in the light of God's Word. And I mentioned this morning that it is an ongoing problem in even this church to keep men, and I suppose women and children too, encouraged in the reading of their Bible. It's ongoing, folks. You say we hear that over and over, and you will continue to. You will continue to. I preached in the old building, in the old auditorium on this subject one Sunday morning, and a man who's, he's not here any longer, his family moved away, didn't move away in anger or mad, they moved out of state. And I made mention then, I said, you know, sometimes I feel like this is a broken record, and I'm the same thing here, read your Bible. He came up to me afterwards, a businessman, and he said, listen, he said, don't ever feel intimidated, don't ever feel badly exhorting us to read the Bible. I need it. I need to hear it from the pulpit. And I think he speaks for all of us. He speaks honestly for all of us. Now, you'll never bring light to your family, men, if you're not walking in the light of God's Word. Psalm 119, 130, the entrance of thy Word giveth light. And I want to point out this to you tonight, that walking in the light of God's Word is very, it's simultaneously, when we walk in the light of God's Word, we are able to walk in the light of His presence. And that's important. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 7 says, but if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So if we walk in the light of God's Word, we are walking in the light of His presence. Psalm 119:11 says, thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee. Now He said, if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, the blood of God's Son will cleanse us from all sin. He said in Psalm 119, thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. Can you see that the results are similar? If I walk in the light of God's presence and if I walk in the light of God's Word, what's going to happen to me? I'm going to stay clean. I'm going to tell you something, that's pretty important in this dirty old world. I'm going to stay clean. My heart's going to stay clean if I walk in the light of God's Word. And while I walk in the light of God's Word, I am walking in the light of His presence, and that will help me stay clean. The results are very, very similar, and I need to stay clean. I want to say this, fellas. The way to bear light to your family is to walk in the light of God's Word. While you're walking in the light of God's Word, you're walking in the light of His presence. That'll keep you clean. And I want to say this. You need us dads, fathers, men. This will sound a little selfish, but I'm going to prove it to you from the Bible here in just a minute. We need to take care of ourselves. You say, well, boy, that sounds like that flies in the face of everything I've ever heard. Whatever happened to joy? Jesus first, others second, yourself last. I understand that. But I want you to turn the page, look over to 1 Timothy chapter 4, and look beginning at verse number 12 with me. I want to tell you something I think is extremely right and extremely, extremely important. He's talking to Timothy in verse number 12. Timothy is a young pastor of a church in Ephesus, and he says, let no man despise thy youth. And he tells him to be an example, gives him some areas to be an example. Tells him, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Don't neglect the gift that's in you. Tells him in verse 15, meditate upon these things. Now look at verse 16, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Now he told Timothy, you take care of yourself. You take heed unto yourself. And you know what he's talking about, folks? He's talking about in the area of spirituality. He said, Timothy, you take care of your spiritual well-being. And if you'll do this, you'll both save thyself. Now stop. Whoa, time out. He's not talking about soul salvation. He can't be talking about soul salvation because so much in the Bible tells us that you can't save yourself. So save thyself must be something other than soul salvation. Salvage yourself. You'll keep yourself from falling apart. You'll keep yourself from backsliding. You'll keep yourself from going astray. You keep yourself from getting out of the light of God's presence. You'll keep yourself from getting out of the way of God's Word. You'll keep yourself from getting out of sweet fellowship with Him. Take heed unto thyself, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself. You'll salvage your own well-being. And every wife and every child in this room needs a dad who is plugged in spiritually in the home. Now we have situations here where dads are not in the home. Or dads who are in the home are not plugged in spiritually. You know what I believe? I believe God makes up the difference for you. But where there's a dad in the home who sits in church and hears Bible teaching and preaching, he needs to be plugged in spiritually. And if, fellas, if we'll take care of ourselves in the area of our spirituality, we will save ourselves. Now watch it. Look at the next part of the verse says, and them that hear thee. Now he's talking to a pastor. So what he's saying is, he's saying, Timothy, you better take care of yourself spiritually. Better stay in the book. Better keep your nose clean. If you'll stay in the book, you'll keep your nose clean. You'll walk in the light of God's presence by walking in the light of God's Word. And the light of God's presence, the light of God's Word will keep your heart clean. And you do that, Timothy, and you save yourself. You salvage yourself. And in doing that, you will not only salvage yourself, you'll save or salvage them that hear thee. So if I apply that principle to my home, the best thing I can do for my wife, the best thing I can do for my children is to get up in the morning, draw a circle on the ground, step into that circle and look to heaven and say, God, would you please fix the man inside this circle? And if I'll give myself to God, and if I'll watch out for my own spirituality and trust God and stay in the walk in the light of His Word and walk in the light of His presence, that is the last thing my wife needs is for me to get backslidden. The last thing my children need is for me to get backslidden on God. The thing they need more than anything else is a husband, a dad, who's plugged into some measure of spirituality, who's carefully taking watch over his spiritual condition, submitting himself to the Lord. And if we do that, gentlemen, we'll not only salvage our own Christian testimony, we will do what's best for our children. The best thing I can do for this church is to draw a circle in the morning, step inside of it, and say, Lord, fix the man inside this circle. Best thing I can do for this church. If I don't keep myself right, I say keep myself. If I don't submit myself to God so He can keep me right, I'm not going to be any good for you folks. Brother, when a pastor gets out of the will of God, when a pastor gets out of fellowship with God, when a pastor starts down the wrong path, there's carnage. Y'all hearing me? There's carnage. We popped into a church last Sunday morning and bumped into the wife of a pastor that's just recently landed in jail. And my wife fellowshiped with her for a half an hour after the service. And she choked up and tears came to her eyes. And I think pretty well, if you got any sense of what's going on in independent Baptist fundamentalism, you understand what I'm talking about tonight. It was the pastor of the church where we went. He used to pastor in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. His name was Dave Smith, not the Dave Smith that ran the camp. Another Dave Smith. Pastored that church up there in Holland now for 26 years. I knew him when I was out in Iowa. I said, let's stop and see Brother Dave. Dave Smith and his wife celebrated their 45th anniversary on Saturday, June 8th. We were in church on June 9th, Dave Smith's place. The wife of the pastor who's in jail, I leaned over to Joyce and said, you know who else had an anniversary yesterday? Got married 8 days before we did. I took a $100 bill, wrapped it up. I said, you give this to her and tell her that we're thinking about her and praying for her. We feel bad for her. You say she didn't need the money. She needs to know that somebody cares about her. And they had a talk for about a half hour after church. I'm going to tell you something, gentlemen. The worst thing in the world for your wife and the worst thing in the world for your children, the worst thing in the world for my wife, the worst thing in the world for my kids is for me not to take care of my own spirituality. Y'all with me tonight? That's how you bear light. You walk in the light of God's Word. You walk in the light of God's presence. It keeps you clean. And Paul told Timothy, you better watch yourself, bud, and make sure that you're right with me, okay, right with God. And that'll do good for you and for them that hear you. Now, wait a minute. I not only walk in the light of God's Word, but let's go over to Ephesians chapter 5. And I want to say this today. How does a man bear light in his home? Not only by walking in the light of the Word, God's Word, but he bears light for his family by walking in the light of God's way. Walking in the light of God's way. And I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 8. Look at what Paul said here. He said to these Ephesians people, Ephesians 5 and verse number 8. He said, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. He says, you were in darkness, but that means you were lost. He says, but now are ye light in the Lord. Now you're saved. He said, walk as children of light. That's walk in God's way. So what Paul is saying here is, he's saying, you know, the teaching of salvation is necessary, but it's not enough. The teaching of salvation, and by the way, can I say a word about this tonight? Because I think we're going to have a child baptized tonight, one of the children of a good family in our church. Be very careful and be patient with the salvation of your children. Folks, you cannot sit down with a 3 or 4 year old and say to them, you know that you're a sinner and you know that Jesus died for your sin. You know if you don't get saved, you're going to go to hell and burn forever in that awful place, separated from God. You know that you've got to get saved. Do you want to get saved? You can't press salvation on your children. You can't do that. And some of us come to the point where our children turn 5 years of age and we think that all of a sudden, you know, the light's turned on and the age accountability is realized and now it's time for them to get saved. They don't get saved at 5, they don't get saved at 5 and a half, they don't get saved at 6, and we start getting nervous and all worked up and everything, and we start trying to create a conversion. If you and I create a conversion, it's not going to last, it's not going to take. Be careful with your kids. Can I give you a good Bible verse for salvation for your children? 2 Timothy 3:15, where Paul said, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation in Jesus Christ. So it sounds like to me, if I want to make sure my kids get saved, I'm going to give them a dose of this book over and 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 over, because this book is able to make them wise unto salvation. Not my begging and pleading. Are you with me tonight? I'm talking about, this is serious stuff, folks. Okay, so be very patient with your children and teach them the Bible. That's what I want to say tonight. You were in darkness, you were lost, now you're light in the world, you're saved, walk as children of light. So you teach about salvation, but you don't stop there. You talk about God's way. You talk about walking as children of light. You bear light to them by walking in God's way. Now, there's two ways to do this. Children are taught by what we say, and the light, light can be taught by what we say, and light can be caught by how we live. It can be taught by what we say. This is family devotions. I know this goes over like a lead balloon because I know the struggle with it. But I'm going to tell you something. You need to have family devotions. You need to, folks. You say, well, that's why I bring them to church. No. It's very clear. God expects the dads to teach the children, though. Very clear. You've got to have family devotions. You've got to develop a pattern, a time, some type of time during the day, evening, whatever, morning, where you sit down, especially when the children are little, and even when they get older, but especially when they are little, and just teach them and 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 teach them the Bible stories and lose yourself. Have a good time doing it. Act out the stories, man. I would get, he talked about me when those kids were, I got little packs of ketchup and I put it underneath my t-shirt and I would have it hidden there and we'd do David and Goliath or something like that. And hit myself or some Bible story and the ketchup did it all over my white t-shirt. And then you talk about glued in, buddy. Have some fun with it. But sit down with your family. And like I'm going to say this, wives and children, if the husband, if the dad starts to make an attempt to have family devotions, God help you if you make it hard on them. I can remember, I think I've told you this before, church, but I can remember two times in my 18 years at home when my dad heard something at church about family devotions and came home under conviction and tried to get something going. And I'm ashamed of the fact that I made it hard on him. I was lost. And if you got a dad or somebody that sits down in the home with you and tries to have some kind of family devotion, tries to read a few verses in the Bible, have a little prayer time, maybe sing a song or two, and you sit there like a wooden Indian, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to give an account to God for that someday. This is an element that's missing. But how do you bear light to your family? You walk in the light of God's Word. As you walk in the light of God's Word, you're walking in the light of His presence. And you walk in the light of God's way. You teach them not only about salvation, but you teach them about God's way. And so you bear light by teaching, okay? They'll catch light by, they'll get light by what we say. Not only will they get light by what we say, but they will catch light by how we live. Now I want you to look at Proverbs chapter 23. Look at Proverbs chapter 23 and verse number 26. Because here's a verse that people really like to use with young people, but they only refer to the first part of the verse. Proverbs chapter 23 and look at verse number 26. We're talking here about how to bear light in the home. Walking in the light of God's way, okay? Proverbs 23 and verse 26. My son, give me thine heart. Boy, doesn't everybody want that? Isn't that what you want, boy? You want the heart of that boy. You want the heart of that daughter. You want the heart of that child. Well, look at the rest of the verse, folks. My son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. Once you get that heart, you ought to be living the life. The reason we want their heart is so that as they watch us, watch us demonstrate the Christian life, they will catch it. Brother Jerkberg at lunch today, he said, I so enjoyed sitting out over here this morning and watching you and Luke on the platform. He said, your movements and your gestures and Luke's movements and Luke's gestures reminded me of Ben. Well, there's a reason for that. Amen. The apples don't fall far from the tree. No, the nuts don't fall far from the tree. Amen. But the nuances and the personality and the gestures and all that stuff, you know, the boys catch that. The boys catch their dad's ways physically. Now, if the boys catch their dad's ways physically, it's possible for them to catch their dad's ways spiritually as well. By the way, I'll tell you what, when Ben and Ashley were on deputation and in furlough last year and they lived with us, it was very apparent to me that Ben had caught some of my ways. Unfortunately, it was some of the bad ones. I'm loud. Ben is louder than me. He's loud. He blows his nose, it sounds like a trumpet going off. Honk! I'm not kidding, am I right? I don't know where he got that. That ain't from me, okay? Must be from his mother. I wouldn't say that. No, I doubt that. What's that? Must be. But no, the kids pick up on their parents' gesturing. You see, a boy acts like his dad. A girl acts like her mother. You see that often. Now, if they can pick up on our physical things, folks, then they can pick up on our spiritual walk as well. A bearer of light will walk in the light of God's way because light is not only taught, it's caught. Somebody said, you catch more than you teach. They catch more than they're taught. And so this is how you bear light to your house. You walk in the light of God's Word. You got to get your nose in this book. When you're in the light of God's Word, you're in the light of His presence. That helps keep you clean. You draw a circle around your on the floor. You step inside of it. You say, God, keep my heart right. Keep me clean. Not only will this salvage my life, it's the best thing I can do for them that hear me. And then you walk in the light of God's way by teaching your kids about salvation, yes, but then more about more than just salvation, about God's way. And not only teach them, but what? Demonstrate. That's how a Christian man lives. All right? So that's how you bear light to your family. Now, let me move on here because I want to wrap it up. How does a man bring order? Okay, he bears light to his family those ways. How does a man bring order to his home? Well, in Genesis chapter 1, verse number 18, the Bible says that one of the reasons God put the lights in the sky for sun and the day and the evening was to divide, now watch this, divide the light from the darkness. There was a demarcation. There's light. This is dark. You know how a man brings order to his home? This is right. This is wrong. He divides. He brings order to his home by dividing, structure. He establishes the boundaries. He establishes the parameters, the guidelines for the families. Folks, listen. Somebody in the family unit is going to set the rules. And when you let the kids do what they want, essentially, who is setting the rules? The kids are. And if you're reading the book of Isaiah, I think it's chapter 3 in the Old Testament, God told the nation of Israel, He said, I am going to judge you. And one of the ways I'm going to judge you is by putting children to rule over you. And I want to tell you something. You think I may be exaggerating, but I'm not exaggerating one whit. We have too many homes that are being ruled by the children. Too many. Way too many. This is what God put the man in the home for. He put the man in the home to rule, to bring order to the home, to say, this is the right way, this is the wrong way, this is the right thing, this is the wrong thing. Now remember, you remember that illustration of 2 weeks ago on the Sunday night? Remember the illustration of the, okay, this is a biblical fundamentalism, the root of biblical fundamentalism, and how it's very difficult for a pastor or a church to stay completely balanced on the biblical root of fundamentalism. And if a pastor leans to the left, even though his roots may be in biblical fundamentalism, everybody he's teaching and training out here, when they put their roots down, they're to the left of where he was. And that generation, if they lean to the left and they put their roots down, they're to the left of where they are. It's exactly what's happened at Liberty University, Thomas Road Baptist Church, to Jerry Falwell. Now he's in heaven. But he was one of the men, when I got saved, that was influencing independent Baptist fundamentalism. And he was influencing the Bob Jones crowd, the Baptist Bible College crowd, the Tennessee Temple crowd, the Hiles Anderson crowd. He was influencing all facets of biblical fundamentalism. And he leaned to the left. And even though his roots were in biblical fundamentalism, those he trained put down their roots further to the left and further to the left. I want to tell you something today, folks. It's gone. Now, you may not like that, but that's truth. It's gone. You lean to the right, the people you train and influence are going to put their roots down. They're going to be a little bit to the right of you. You say, well, that's a little dangerous too. No, because everybody mellows. Everybody mellows. Now, if that principle works for a church, that principle works in the home. Now, dads, you lean to the left, even though your roots are an old-fashioned biblical fundamentalism as far as what's right and what's wrong. Your children, when they put their roots down, they're going to be to the left of you. I have already seen that in my children. Where an area where I lean to the left just slightly, they put their roots down further to the left than mine. So you're being kind of transparent. I'm trying to be transparent with you. Yeah, I've seen that. That's how it happens. And so you better be careful when you start setting the guidelines and setting the parameters and setting the boundaries. You say, I don't know, man, this old-fashioned style of biblical Christianity is just not very popular anymore, and my kids don't like it. I'm not sure they have a vote on it. This is how we're going to live, kids. And don't you worry, friend, when they put their roots down, well, look what they're going to be. They're going to mellow. They're going to turn back. They're going to come back a little bit. It happens every time. And so remember, that's going to work in your home. You will lean one direction or another. And once you lean, your kids are going to lean further. So somebody has to bring order in the home. And it needs to be dad. That's why God put dad in the home. God put us there to bring order, to divide light from darkness. And he gave us a book to teach us what's light and what's dark. Okay? Now listen to this. Okay? So here you got your boundaries, you got your parameters. Two things involved with this, and I know this is probably more teaching than preaching, but I just got to get it off my heart tonight. Okay? The two elements that I think when it comes with our kids are the elements of discipline and punishment. Discipline and punishment. You said those are the same thing. They're not the same thing. The root word of discipline is what? Disciple. Look it up in the dictionary. It means teaching. Instruction. Punishment is when teaching is disregarded. Now, I'll tell you what the problem is. What the problem is, we got dads who are quick to punish, but have never discipled. Y'all with you hearing me tonight? Let me tell you something about the book of Proverbs, okay? Because that's what you think of when you think of children. Proverbs, 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 Proverbs. And when we think of punishment in the book of Proverbs, what's the word that we associate with punishment in the book of Proverbs? Somebody help me. One word, three letters. Rod. The rod is not mentioned until Proverbs chapter 10. Instruction is mentioned 12 times before chapter 10. And understanding is mentioned 24 times before chapter 10. You get the picture here? There is instruction and understanding and instruction and understanding and instruction and understanding. In other words, there's got to be a lot of discipline that goes into the children, a lot of discipling before you begin to punish them. That's the principle. You can't just grab your kids up off the ground. That instruction, that understanding must precede punishment. You know, where there, I believe this with all my heart, where there has been proper instruction and understanding and a child breaks a rule, they usually accept the punishment. They may not like it, but they accept it. This is the rule. You broke it. You know what's got to happen now. Okay. I don't want to spend it. Well, I don't know. Okay. But hear me, folks. Dads, especially, if there's no teaching and there's no understanding and a kid disobeys the rules and in anger, a dad grabs up a kid and just whacks away on his bottom. You know what you're flirting with? You're flirting with Ephesians 6:4, where it says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. And in some cases, that's how some of you were raised. Because you weren't raised by a Christian dad. Or maybe dad didn't go to church, didn't learn anything about the Bible, and he yelled at you and yelled at you and yelled at you, and then he jerked you up off the floor in anger and frustration and beat the tar out of you, and you didn't appreciate it. There has to be discipling. There has to be teaching. You say, when do you do that? Family altar. They can tell you. I used to teach my kids about, you tell a lie, you're going to end up in jail someday. So that's a little excessive. You know any liar that hasn't ended? You know any person in jail that hasn't lied? It kind of works. You teach and you teach and you... No, no kidding. And I'm not the example of perfection. I had problems. Good grief, like you do. I'm just reminding us all tonight that, you know... Folks, this is not barbaric. That's the thing that just drives me nuts, is that we've come to the place, even in our circles, where we think, you know, a man ruling his house, this is barbaric, a caveman. What are you talking about? This is biblical. And I'm not talking about hitting a kid with your fist. Shame on you. You deserve to go to jail. No, sir. But I'm talking about biblical discipline and punishment. And there has to be a ton of discipline. There has to be a ton of teaching. And once the rules are established and taught and there's understanding, now, you know what? When the child breaks the rules, they have to follow it up with some punishment. Don't stand in the corner. Oh, that'll really break their will. And there's a way to punish. You know what that is. But I got to quit. Listen, the first home we lived in after we were married, we lived in an apartment when we were, of course, over here in our last year in college. And then we moved to Iowa. We lived in a little old apartment across from the house over the church over there. Brian would remember that. And then the first house we lived in was a mobile home. I don't know if you remember that or not, Brian. Lived in a mobile home in the corner of East 8th and North 10th, the corner lot. The house sat horizontal there with the road, with parallel with North 10th and perpendicular to East 8th. And it was a corner lot. So we had road frontage on two sides. And Hannah and Ben were born there when we were in that little mobile home, 3 or 4 years, I guess. And I remember when Hannah got big enough to play outside, I took her by the hand and I went out to the roadside, right up to the edge of the road, the curbing, and I walked her all along I walked her along the curbing that ran along East 8th Street. And I said, no. I said, that's the road. No, no, you can't go in the road. No. Will you play outside? No, no, no. You can't go in the road. No, no, no. I walked all along the boundary, all along that road frontage on East 8th. I turned and walked all along North 10th and said, no, no, you can't go in the road. You can't be in the road. You'll get hurt if you go in the road. Mommy's in the house. Daddy's at the church. You can play in the yard, but you cannot go in the road. Do you understand me? You cannot go in the road. Did the same thing with them when he was a little guy. No, 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 no. You can't go in the road. Now, folks, if I would do that to protect my kids' physical well-being, ought not I do the same thing to protect them spiritually and in their character? Shouldn't I draw the boundaries, the parameters, and then walk those children along those parameters and along those boundaries and say, no, no, look, when you get over there, you're in trouble. That's where the devil, they have a heyday with your life, and you want to be over here where God can bless you. Don't want to get out here. You can't do this. You're going to be messing around. You get over in that kind of rock and roll music, and you're going to get messed up with the devil. He's going to have a heyday with your mind and a heyday with your body. You get into that kind of magazines, you get into that kind of literature, Satan's going to have a heyday with your mind. He's going to ruin your life. You better not. No, 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 no. That's what I'm talking about tonight. A dad brings order to his home by dividing light from darkness. Just like the sun and the moon divide day from night. Now, fellas, I don't know how else to put it to us. But this idea of ruling in our homes is not barbaric, it's not caveman, it's not Neanderthal, it's very biblical. And it doesn't mean you walk around the house shouting all the time. You need help. But it means you bear light and you bring order. You bear light and you bring order. You walk in the light of God's Word, walk in the light of God's presence, keep your heart clean and salvage your own spirituality and salvage the spirituality of those that hear you. And then you teach God's way. You demonstrate it. You teach it with your mouth. You demonstrate it with your life. It's taught and it's caught. And then you bring order in the home. You say, okay, here's the boundaries. Here they are. And we're going to live inside these boundaries. And this is why. We're not going to get over here, or out here, or back here, over here, because this will not be good for us. And if we do, this is going to happen. And this is how we're going to live, because this is what God said. And fellas, you are not a caveman for taking that approach with your family. Amen? Absolutely not. You are a biblical dad. Let's stand together, please. Thank you for listening tonight. And I hope that day has been helpful to us as dads. Lord, bless us as dads. Help us to live for you. I pray that tonight, Lord, you'd help us to commit in our hearts to be what our kids and our wives need, and help the wives and the kids to support the dads. And Lord, thank you for the privilege of bringing a child into the world and bearing fruit, the fruit of our bodies. And Lord, what a blessing. But Father, what a responsibility, an awesome, awesome responsibility. And so help us tonight, please. And I pray that you'd give the dads of our church courage and help them to be committed. And Lord, may we do our best to rear our families for the Lord, please. Would you help us to bear light and to bring order in Jesus' name?